Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Tired of your old tractor crying when it sees a hill? Or coughing more than Uncle Earl in pollen season? Trade up now at Sid's Trading Company. Coyote and TYM tractors so mean, they'd plow a cornfield in reverse. Uphill. Get her did at Sid's. SidsTrading.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. I know the look is not as good as it is at the home studio, which is also not as good as what we have at the Super Talk studio. But hey, we're making do. I realized that the lighting in the room here is not ideal, but we're going to get through. I'm settled in Tampa. There is some kind of group of speed bikes outside of the hotel here. So I am just like three floors above where the event's going to be taking place starting tomorrow through Thursday. Of course, as you guys know, and somebody's having a party outside apparently on their motorcycles. You might be able to pick that up. I don't know. Give me a check. Tell me if you can hear me. I've got my travel mic and stuff with me. So again, I don't know if it's working or not. So just give me a quick heads up and we'll get started. It is officially talking season and some people love it. Some people hate it. I am a big fan. Personally, of this event, I don't like being away from home. That's the one thing. I don't like being away from home for this long. I have an intense fear of flying. I lived, so we're good. I do know that there is a tropical storm brewing now. So there's supposed to be one brewing here, and that didn't happen. Now, there's another one apparently going from New Orleans across Louisiana into Houston when we're supposed to be flying home from Houston. So who knows what that's going to look like one day at a time around here. But I love this event. I'm excited to be here, especially for the radio show and for this podcast. There's just so much good content from the press conferences don't give you a whole lot, right? That's the one thing that if you're just watching the press conferences, you don't get a metric ton out of those. They're very buttoned up. They're political speeches is what they are. But the 4 days of radio, really the 5 days, because we do so many interviews, Friday's show is going to be basically be done as well. Between the interviews that we're going to get there, we're going to get all six players and both coaches. It's just really good quality content and a lot of fun. And I like being here, and I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to talk about Ole Miss with you guys. I'm excited to hear from Pete Golding, and I'm going to sit one-on-one with him, and I will put that right here on this feed. Of course, it'll play on the radio show as well on Wednesday. All three players, Trinidad, Kiwan, Will Eccles, all that stuff's coming your way right here. So stick with it, subscribe, all that stuff, and you will get that throughout the week. I'm looking forward to it. I am excited to talk about it, and I hope you guys are as well. I've got a few thoughts of what I expect to hear this week, and we can read some of your comments as well as they come in. There's a handful of things that I either am going to ask slash want to hear from the people involved this week. And so we'll previewing on this edition of the podcast. I'm glad you're here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, and if you like what you hear, subscribe and leave a rating and a review. This edition of the show this week is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They will take care of you. When you go, you know that they are people just like you. I love going there. I love the people there, and you will too, because they're just like you. They're one of you. They've got everything that you need, literally anything that you need for your home, inside and outside of the home, even clothes, and like the fishing aisle's good. The boot selection's really good. The cheapest beer in town, home furnishings, appliances, home improvement, anything for your garden that you need, anything for your lawn, your hunting property, and more, in 0% financing on all of these John Deere's, America's Tractor, all of these John Deere's, zero turn mowers, so for your yard, 5 series tractors, compact tractors, commercial mowers, all at 0%, varying months, but all at 0% from John Deere at Scruggs. They also have Gators for 1.9% financing as well. So check them out, Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. Tell them that it was me that sent you there. I cannot stress enough how much of an incredible experience that you will have there. So go by and tell them that it was me that sent you. Okay, so previewing the previewing. Tomorrow is going to be an interesting day. If you're somebody like me that is into and cares about the business of the sport, all the outside stuff, there are some people that only really want to talk about and care about games. But to me, especially in the offseason, I like to fill time and I'm interested in things like what's going on at the conference level, with the NCAA, at the national level, the business side of this, because what they decide in these off seasons, see, that's why I don't like ignoring it, because what is decided every off season directly impacts the standing of your football teams in the fall. So I don't think ignoring this and ignoring how this plays out is the best thing, especially when you're, you know, relaying information to your audience. I'll give you an example. So LSU released some future opponents, something that everybody does periodically. And people took the dates as they're playing a bunch of week zero games moving forward. And it was like, it was this whole news cycle of, oh, wow, look, LSU going to get all these week zero games. How great is this that they're getting week zero games? They are, but so is everybody. Back in April, it has not been finalized yet, but they are pushing through to make the week zero the actual start of the college football season as early as next year. Like, they are pushing that through right now. And so if you don't pay attention to stuff like that, and if you don't talk about stuff like that, you don't even realize that's going on. And that's a minor example, but you guys, I'm sure you saw that last week. Oh, we're getting these week zero games. How great. This is a preemptive scheduling thing, which is smart. It's what they should do, but that's a preemptive scheduling thing. Your team, I know the overwhelming majority of you are Ole Miss fans, but there are some others that check out the audio feed as well. We certainly have, like, I mean, on our radio show, it's predominantly Ole Miss and State fans, but I mean, we have a bunch of LSU fans and Alabama fans that listen to the show, and that's why we talk about stuff like that in the off season, and that's why we pay attention to it, so our audience can be informed. If you listen to us every day, you knew that this was a thing. You knew that this was coming. So that's why what Greg Sankey is going to talk about tomorrow is of interest to me, because they have had an off season where, I mean, a lot on his plate. If you think about what he's dealt with, and you can argue he's dealt with it really poorly or really well or somewhere in between, but you had all of the stuff that happened with Lane Kiffin, as we've talked about before. I think the manner in which that went down, not leaving one school for another, that's fine, but the public nature of it, the way it became a spectacle on his own conference's network or his conference's affiliated network with ESPN, all the way all of that went down, the way the Egg Bowl was covered, and it just, that was a mess that he had to deal with. Whether you think it was handled beautifully or terribly, doesn't matter. It was a mess. So he had to deal with that. You had the Bediako situation that he inserted himself in and wrote a letter to the Tuscaloosa County Court defending the NCAA against a player from his own league. And so you had that. And then you have the Dabo thing. I mean, that's something that he's going to be asked about coming up tomorrow. I'm going to ask him about it when I get what is expected to be my one-on-one sit down with him. We've gotten one every year for the last like 9 years. So I would assume it's going to happen again as well here. But I mean, that is something that they had to deal with at the league level. They have gone to 9 conference games, and multiple stakeholders involved said that, hey, the vote, we weren't informed on reality when we voted to move to the 9th conference game. So he's got that to deal with. That all this lobbying to Congress and all this crap that, I mean, it's been a really busy and pretty chaotic offseason for Greg Sankey. And so he's got to address all that tomorrow. There's reporting that the SEC is considering breaking away and having its own governing model, and all of those things he has to address tomorrow in his address to the league. Now, it's going to take an hour, and there's really only about 10-ish minutes that are truly substantive. But I mean, I'm locked in, because this is not only is this the future of the SEC, but he and Tony Petitti at the Big Ten, I mean, they hold the future of college football in their hands. It is up to them to decide what the future is going to look like, both with scheduling, with playoff, with governance, with rules, all that. That's really, truly all up to the two of them more than anybody else in this sport. So it's a big day for that tomorrow. So I'm really paying attention to what he has to say. And again, we are expected to, at some point, get to have a conversation with him. And so I'll ask him about the 9-game conference schedule. Most importantly to me, I'm going to ask him about you. I did it last year. I don't think he understood the question. I'm going to give him another chance, essentially, because the question that I asked last year was, you know, there's all this stuff going on, but in all of these addresses and all of these conversations, you know, 45 minutes behind the podium, the word fans was not used once in the context of doing what's best for them. We hear from thousands of fans every day on the radio show, thousands and thousands of them every day. We hear from them and they all feel like they are being left behind, left out, ignored, etc. I'm going to ask them about that, because that to me is the most important thing, is when you guys make your decisions, when you're having these conversations at the league level, do the fans get brought up at all? When you're having the playoff discussion, do the fans get brought up at all? When you're all of these, does anybody consider what they want? Because they're the ones that are funding all of this. And at least we forget that it is the fans that are writing the checks for all of what you do here. So I'll ask about that. And then I will ask about week three. And if the league is involved at all, if the league stepped in when you had the main character in that story bragging on the fighting abilities of his own fan base. You guys know about the Vanity Fair deal already and the implications of that. And if the league stepped in at the end of last season, do they wish they had? Are they considering implementing some kind of NFL-style deal where you can't engage with coaches until their season is over, things like that? But more importantly about the game, what is the league doing to ensure that the rhetoric stops? And lately it has, you know, when you're not speaking publicly and you're not on Twitter, the rhetoric, the word I'll keep using, I guess, has died down some. But I am going to ask about that as well. When it comes to Pete Golding and the players themselves, again, I'm scheduled to. I'm supposed to have a one-on-one with all four of them, as we do every year. So looking forward to that opportunity, as we always do, which is really exciting. But just get ready for this, by the way. This is kind of like a PSA, like a warning. What I would encourage you guys to do is, quite frankly, I would not consume any of the national coverage Wednesday or even Thursday, but especially Wednesday. I wouldn't consume any national coverage. If it's just Hey Dad and I on the radio and right here on the podcast, great. If it's Neil and Chase, great. Whoever it is, Michael Katz, Ben Garrett, whoever that you choose to consume, make sure it's local, because I am here to tell you that this is an event filled with hundreds of people that don't want to cover Ole Miss as much as they want to get the soundbite, as much as they want to. Okay, let me shorten this up. You are going to see these guys get asked 1,000, 10,000, a million questions about Lane Kiffin and LSU in week three. And don't get me wrong, it's part of the story. But if you want depth about your team and its players, and stick to local, because you're going to get a lot of 30,000 foot view or just a bunch of peppering of LSU questions. And I don't think that especially Trinidad and Kiwan are should be just here to answer questions about LSU and Lane Kiffin. They are obviously incredibly marketable, as you've seen this offseason, but they're great players in their own right, and there's more to them than just their coach left this offseason. Of course, the same applies to Will Eccles, but his coach didn't leave. He plays defense, and Pete Golding obviously still there. So stick local, because you are going to get far less of that kind of obnoxious crap that you are going to get otherwise on Wednesday. So just there's a PSA for you. But there's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations on this team. And Pete Golding said something in the spring that I'm going to ask him directly about. And it was one of their primary jobs is to make sure that he's got a team that's focused on the wrong stuff, is essentially what he said. And so now you've got a football team that is getting a ton of hype, especially locally. You've got a Heisman campaign that just got launched for two of them. Will Eccles is getting put in all kinds of, you know, mock drafts, putting him in the top 15, top 20 in the first round of the draft. Trinidad had a court case. Keywon Lacy's getting a video game cover. There's a lot of stuff that these guys are dealing with or dealt with this offseason, all the stuff with Kiffin and all that too. I mean, there's just been a lot of stuff that can pull and distract a young athlete away from focusing on the right stuff, as Pete Golding said. So I'm going to ask him about that. You said back in the spring that is something that you guys needed to make sure that the team was right on. Have they responded to that in kind? How do you think that they are? Where's their focus level, considering all of the distractions and the outside noise? Because there's a lot of it. There's a lot of distractions, and some of them are really good, right? I think it's good that Ole Miss is doing a preseason Heisman campaign. That's what you should do with athletes that you think are good enough to be in that conversation. It should have happened last year, but they didn't do it last year because somebody was flying his family all over the country during the season. You know, it should have happened then, but it's happening now. But that can distract you. The video game cover is awesome. I mean, that's an incredible thing for Keywon Lacy. But that kind of stuff can distract you. So how are they managing that? How are they handling that? Is something I'm going to ask about. And, you know, another thing Pete Golding said that I'm going to ask him about in the spring is he got a lot of advice from people about, you know, hey, don't do it. Don't become a head coach. He said that, you know, trips to the grocery store are a little bit different than they used to be and those kind of things. But I'm curious to hear something that he did not expect about being a head coach that he has really enjoyed so far. You know, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectations. You're managing more. You're doing more. He mentioned the trips to the grocery store. But what about it is something that you've really enjoyed that you didn't expect? I'm really excited to hear that answer. But there's a lot of pressure on him. And Media Days has no bearing on a single outcome of a single game this season. I mean, not one, right? Because I do see people doing pre-Media Days and post-Media Days, like power rankings. And hey, in the content's difficult. It's really hard to do. It's really hard to be fresh and original. And sometimes it can get monotonous and repetitive. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I don't mean to knock other people's content ideas. I try not to, because they could probably knock a lot of mine too. But a post-Media Days power rankings, nothing happens here that impacts games at all, unless a coach is announcing an injury to a quarterback. Otherwise, you know, there's no post-Media Days power rankings to be had. But this is a different setting for Pete Golding. It's one that, look, he does the speaking tours really well, and he's really engaging and all that, but this is different. And, you know, I'm kind of curious he's going to get asked a lot of the same questions. He's going to get asked a lot of LSU questions. He's going to get asked a lot of week three and, you know, playoffs and all that stuff. And, you know, UCLA had a coach that did a media day circuit and was horrendous, and his program was horrendous. 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 there, but, you know, a good quote unquote performance can help continue the hype machine, I guess, to some degree. Going to ask both offensive players about the new offense. I assume they are prepped and ready to not give any details specifically about schematics. But Pete Golding has talked about this offseason that there's a lot of similarities. Terminology is going to be a little bit different and some a little bit more personnel packages maybe than they ran last year. But I want to know, hey, Trinidad, what is the difference between last year's offense and this year's offense? Is this one asking you to do a lot of different things than last year's offense? And of course, same thing with Kiwan. I'm going to ask Trinidad about his new receivers, Jontae Cook in particular, but Daryl Gill. There's a lot of new faces there. His offensive line room, spending an offseason as the guy for the first time in the SEC anyway. I'm really excited to talk to Will Eccles, being a Mississippi guy, sticking with it. And that's going to be a question for all three of them as well that I'm going to have is, you guys could have gone anywhere in the country. Kiwan Lacy could have gone and gotten paid a bunch of money to literally any program in the country, as could have Will Eccles. Maybe you can argue that Trinidad couldn't go anywhere because of the court thing. Fine, whatever. Okay, push that away. The other two, an elite defensive tackle could name his price in the transfer portal. And an elite running back like Kiwan could have named his price in the transfer portal. They could have gone anywhere in the country. Anywhere in the country they could have gone, they chose to stay. Why? Why did you choose to stay when you could have gotten the same or more money and you could have gone anywhere else in the country? You chose to stay. Why? I'm really looking forward to talking about all that kind of stuff with them this week. So, again, my advice, even if it's not me, I don't care if it's me or not. I don't care if it's Haydad and I or not. Wednesday, stick local with how you consume their day on Wednesday. Something already happened on the SEC network tonight that I just avoid it. I probably shouldn't say that because we're going to have ESPN and SEC network people on our show. But if tonight was any indication about how this thing is going to be covered, I would avoid it as much as humanly possible. So it wasn't like egregious. It was just the league's own network allowing its analysts to be so dismissive about a really good roster because, it's Ole Miss. They can't win anything just because it's Ole Miss. If that's going to happen on that network, don't consume that network this week. I probably shouldn't say that, but if that's the kind of content you're going to get, I wouldn't. That's just me. I would avoid it. Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Auto, home, life, or business insurance anywhere in the state of Mississippi. And I mean anywhere in Mississippi. Logan Smith has got you covered. Give him a call. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Even if you have insurance, what's a 5-minute phone call going to hurt, right? It doesn't hurt you at all. And you'll get a great rate. You'll get great service. Give Logan Smith a call at Shelter Insurance, 601. Oh, I forgot the number. 601-823-3500. Tell them that it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day. Local loan servicing and decision-making, great online banking platform, and more. It's what they do. It's in the name at Priority One Bank. Bank with me there at Priority One Bank. And finally, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. For all of your Mississippi office technology needs, that's where you go anywhere in this state. Tell them it was me that sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. What's the schedule for Ole Miss and State? Here, I will tell you. Give me just a second. Hold on. Okay, I don't need that. Don't need that. Sorry, they send a lot of emails. And I need to figure out which one has the schedule. Because it's like, here, go to this, whatever. Sorry, guys, this is taking longer than I thought it would. I will tell you, just give me a minute. Thank you. I'm sorry about this. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I will have, I mean, I'll have all kinds of conversations for you guys, but I'm actually going to talk to the Fiesta Bowl CEO this week too. I'll let you know if anything interesting comes from that. But again, the big day is Wednesday. Let's see. Is this the correct email? Nope, it's not. Dang it. It's Wednesday. How about that? schedule. Here we go. Wednesday. Okay. Ole Miss will start at 1:30. There's a more detailed schedule than that. I can't find it, guys. I'm sorry. Ole Miss is Wednesday afternoon. That's what I got for you. But they will, again, Pete and the players will meet me at our booth on Radio Row, and I'll have all four of those for you on the show on Wednesday, and then I will upload all of those on here for you as well. So they bounce around. I mean, they'll do – the schedule is different for every player. They'll be in a couple of breakout rooms. They'll have to do, you know, Marty and McGee. They'll have to do this and this and this and this, and they will they'll come to us first. They'll do a local media scrum, and then they'll come to me, and then they'll do their rounds. I'm sorry. They give it to us in printout form tomorrow, and sifting through all the emails I get during the day was too difficult. Sorry, I know that was kind of embarrassing. But as it's getting closer, how confident are you in John David Baker? Was thinking about it today. Obviously, the style of offense will look similar, but won't be exactly the same as it's been. You guys might not like this. I'm like a 6.5 out of 10. In terms of pure confidence that it's going to be elite, right? So that's better than 50-50, but I want to see it in the SEC first. And I think that's okay. There's nothing wrong with skepticism. I know that, you know, what some people want is you to just cheerlead the hell out of everything all the time. I think it's okay to go into the season a little bit in wait and see mode. He's done it 2 years completely on his own. Those 2 years of experience are all like they're vital. If he was just getting promoted from within, I would be deeply, deeply concerned because he had never done it before. But he did it at ECU under a defensive minded head coach, and they had good offenses. But this league is different. Now he'll have better players than he's ever had before as an offensive coordinator. But he's also going up against defenses that are better coached and have better players than the ones that he saw the last couple of years as well. So I think it's totally within bounds to have a wait and see thing. And if they have an elite offense, then great. But I don't think that you're looking at this rationally if you think there is no chance that it's not elite without skipping a beat, that they're going to be even better and they're going to be the best offense in the world. We don't know that. And it's okay to want to see it happen first before you say it's going to happen. And that's where I am right now. Dabo's just mad he's getting left behind. He had a very odd... If I were a Clemson fan, I would be so annoyed at the arrogance that he kind of displays after a really bad season. So it's either going to be an extremely fun season or an extremely stressful season. What's this about conference realignment that's reigniting again? Well, quite frankly, I think a lot of teams want to get on the boat before it leaves the marina. What do you think the biggest game on the schedule besides LSU? Ooh, okay, besides LSU, Louisville. But that's a cop-out answer. Let's see. The biggest game on the schedule... not named LSU. That's a really good question. Louisville's a cop-out. I'm not going to go cop-out. If the team is as good as they should be, I mean, Georgia at home would be number two. I think that Florida game is massive, 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 massive for so many reasons. I think Florida's going to be pretty good, but as I keep talking about, I hate its location on the schedule. It being the week after, on the road, being the week after LSU, that's tough. So tough team, tough venue. We all know about what happened last time they went to Gainesville when, you know, fifth string wide receiver was the best option at running back, even though you made the collective pay, got $350K to sit the bench. It might be Florida to me, because how they bounce back after a loss, or if they can get back up after a win against LSU, will tell you a lot about Pete Golding, the program, the team, leadership, everything. How big is it that Pete Golding was able to keep Judge? Oh, huge, especially for game management, because I think that you saw that in the three playoff games. Game management, decision-making was really good, right? When to punt, when to kick field goals, fourth down decisions. They were faced with all that, and it was quick. It was rapid. There never looked like there was any confusion or I don't know what to do out of Pete Golding. And I think Joe Judge being there as kind of like the sideline coach, if you will, is a big help with that. So yeah, it's huge. And of course his relationship with Trinidad and things like that. So does the more air raid style that JDB incorporates fit Trinidad better than last year's offense scheme wise? When you hear air raid, don't think Mike Leach. He's not running Mike Leach's offense. Is it just you or does this defense on paper seem to be setting up as one of the best they've had recently? On paper, this defense should be significantly better from a talent ceiling than last year's defense. They clearly went cheap in some spots. As I've said to you guys before, the funds were imbalanced. And so that's why linebacker depth was an issue. They weren't able to spend big at linebacker, or it's certainly a position that they have on paper upgraded in rather dramatically from last year's team. They need a couple of guys on the defensive line to be what they can be. Frontline starters are fine, more than fine. Quality. I mean, you know about Echols. He's coming. You know about Cam Franklin. You know about, if you want to count him as a defensive lineman, Centarian Perkins. But like Blake Purchase, he's got to be good. Maldonado, got to be good. These are transfers that either played at a lesser league or more limited action. Renaud, same thing. They need some of these guys that are super talented on paper to be playable depth. Because last year, as you know, the difference between beating Miami and losing to Miami was they lacked depth at linebacker. When Andrew Jones got hurt, the horrible options there, really all season, the linebacker position was just not good enough. And then playable depth on the defensive line. They had good starters, but they didn't have enough playable depth in a game like that. They can now. I think they do now, but they got to go see it. You made Borky, Borky work. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have had that prepared, but yeah, my bad. Your last yap about the College Football 27 video game. All, and I mean all of the stadiums are there for every team. It's so freaking cool, man, playing in the VOD. Also with crowd options, stripe the VOD or red out. That is cool. You know me though. I'm an anti stripe out guy. I don't like stripe out. You guys do it well. You make it look good. You participate. I just don't like the way it looks. Want to put it on record now that JDB will be even better than Weiss. Okay. The unknown chaos of what Ole Miss's performance will be in dynasty mode. They literally have it in the game. Announcers questioning Pete Golding and the fate of the 2026 season. Kind of cool realism. And again, every stadium is in there, even UMass's. although Sacramento State, theirs is all jazzed up, and that's not actually their stadium. Go look at Sacramento State's stadium in real life and then the one in the game. And it's like they took away the track. They added a bunch of club seating and stuff. It's not the same. What interview are you looking forward to the most this week? Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Oh, man. Probably Sankey, to be honest with you. Because And not, I don't know if you're going to get the answers or not, but if I'm going to sit here and talk a big game about putting fans first, I need to ask the commissioner about you guys. And I'm excited to ask that question about, are fans getting left behind? They feel left behind. Or is anybody at the league office talking about what's best for them in these conversations? Because I think that you guys need to hear what the answer is personally. So that's the question I'm most looking forward to asking. I'll put it that way. Interview-wise, probably Kiwan. Probably Kiwan. Because, I mean, you don't get to talk to guys like that in one-on-one situations very often. And that's just going to be a really cool experience. He's a cover athlete on a video game. As a millennial that grew up playing video games, getting to interview a cover athlete's pretty sick because I'm a video game guy, or I was anyway. Although I was mostly, first person and third person shooters, but still, that'll be fun. That'll be a fun conversation. But most of these are awesome, man. I mean, a lot of these media guys are great. We had J.D. Pickell last year, and I know he's been really hyping up LSU, and some Ole Miss fans don't like him, but I like J.D. Pickell a lot. I think he's a really, really, really nice guy. Here's sidebar. You guys probably don't care about stuff like this, but he does a podcast for On3 if you're not familiar with him. But we met for probably 10 seconds briefly, like in passing. Like, he was walking by and somebody introduced him to me. Brief handshake, walked away. The next day, I mean, that's all it was. Brief handshake, walk away. And you do that 1,000 times at a week like this. The next day, he walks up to me. Hey, Michael. Hey, you said you wanted me on your show. Tell me when. It's like, that kind of stuff just sticks to me. So I've always liked him ever since. So I'm looking forward to that conversation, because that dude just absolutely freaking loves football. And so you're going to get 15 minutes of passion out of that guy. And so I'm looking forward to talking to him. I enjoy this stuff. I know I think that they are pushing local media types further and further away. It being in Tampa doesn't make a whole lot of sense, to be honest with you, but we're here. I think it's getting closer to becoming a made for TV event, but this is fun for me. Would a 10-2 Texas make the playoffs with losses to Ohio State and Ole Miss over a 9-3 Ole Miss? Yes, they would. Yep. I wouldn't agree with it, but yes, they would. Are you surprised that the university was caught off guard about how well received the Heisman campaigns went? I don't know if they're caught off guard necessarily. I kind of have a feeling it was a test run, because some people don't like, I don't know. Maybe they just were throwing a few out there just to kind of see how it would go. And then, if there wasn't a high demand for it, then, you printed 500 of these things and no big deal. But if there's a high demand for it, boom, you put up a merch shop and sell them everywhere. It's kind of a very low risk, high reward decision. I don't know. I don't know. I will ask Keith Carter about it next time I get to visit with him. So, Logo Bias is already running insane. Did you see Roman Harper this afternoon on TV? And I did. And on Thursday morning, I will get to ask him about it. So, I will let you. I will let you in on what he says about that. Hope the SEC bounces back in the eyes of everyone. Natty incoming for any SEC team would be a W, maybe not LSU or Kentucky, though. Here's my problem, and I keep beating this dead horse, but SEC Mike and I went back and forth on Twitter about this a little bit, because he shared a graphic, I think it was Athlon, that projected 5 SEC teams making the playoff. And I said, the league added 8 losses. There's no way it's getting 5 teams in the playoff this year. And he said, well, Counterpoint had added 8 wins. Not necessarily. It added 8 possibly quality wins. But the league was already winning the games that the ninth conference game is replacing anyway. The Power 5 or Power 4 requirement remains. So the games that you're losing are your Troy, your South Alabama, your Appalachian State. Those are the games that you were winning anyway, by and large, not at 100% clip, but you were winning those more often than not. And over the last 2 years, have you had any indication that the committee is going to weigh the SEC's more difficult schedules favorably when the records are not as good as their Big Ten counterpart? Well, that answer is no. They have spoken on this themselves. So you should have no confidence that they will weigh the more difficult schedules. No way. So I'm really concerned about that. And maybe they do finally weigh strength of schedule this year, but are you guys confident that they're going to do that? Because I'm not. And I don't think you should be either until proven otherwise, because now you have 2 years of sample size that, and now whether right or wrong, there is a narrative, if you want to call it a narrative. I think we misuse that word all the time, myself included. But there is a narrative that, frankly, the SEC is not good anymore and that the Big Ten has passed it. So a 9-3 SEC with a more difficult schedule against a 10-2 Big Ten, not getting in over the Big Ten team. It's not happening because the league's not looked at the same. It's not. We have 2 years of sample size that says that. So maybe that changes this year, but until proven otherwise, I don't like speaking about what will happen when you haven't seen that thing happen yet. You know what I mean? But I'm doing it right now because I think that the league made a mistake and not enough people around here are talking about it enough. And I'm beating a dead horse. I know I am. I know I am. But not enough people here are talking about it. And then you'll get some guys that'll say, oh, well, just, you know, just win your games. Okay, sure. Yes. Tough guy. Like, that's great. That's a great mentality to have until you look at a Big 12 schedule without a ranked team on it, making the playoff over yours when you played 6. So started playing Halo again since you said something about it a few weeks back. It brings back so many memories. Me too, man. Gosh. 2-3 is, I think, the best one. Multiplayer, anyway, was 3. But any big rule changes this season? So actually, there will be the head of officials will kind of outline all that on Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him too. Not a fan of this 9-game schedule unless they come out with a concrete formula and how they decide who makes the playoff that benefits the new tougher schedule. I would not hold my breath on that one, but I would be fine with it if you knew that it was actually going to mean something. And I'm not convinced that it's going to mean something, but we'll see. All right, so I will not go live again until Wednesday. So I'll go live Wednesday night. But you guys are going to get new stuff every day for a while. You're going to get, I'm going to put interviews on this feed. Obviously, Pete and the three players, all kinds of stuff is going to get uploaded here on this podcast feed. So again, live on Wednesday night, 9:00. And everything else will just be uploaded for you guys as much as possible this week on this podcast feed. So, anyway, I will see you guys Wednesday live, but all kinds of stuff coming your way this week. So I really appreciate you guys. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you like the kind of stuff that we bring you on the radio show, which, I mean, that's why we're here, is to do the radio show. But I hope you guys enjoy it because I know we're going to. A lot of fun, a lot of good conversations coming your way. I will see you guys 3:00 tomorrow, but also right here again on this feed all week long. See you then. You guys have a good night. Appreciate you being here, and I'll talk to you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.